clouds had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. The Bible tongues of the fire appeared among them, and the tongues rested on each other.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability.
There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven who remained in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked,
"Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?"
Listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heaven above, and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who sees and says the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, earth has many languages, but your gospel proclaims your love to all nations in one heavenly tongue. Make us messengers of the good news that through the power of your Spirit, all the world may unite in one song of praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thanks, Lewis. Well, between the inspiration of our music today and the dramatic reading of the Pentecost story by members of the choir, we have been gifted with a sense of the energy, the excitement, the poignancy, and the power of this red letter day in the church year. Thanks to the worship team for reminding us that we are all called to enter into this story so that it can raise the same question for us that people kept asking on that day when the church was born. What does this mean? Preacher Tom Long tells about a time when he was the brand new pastor of a small church, and he announced to his congregation one Sunday that he was starting a pastor's church school class on the basics of the Christian faith. He expected just about everybody in the church would want to come. And so arriving in the classroom the following Sunday, he was expecting this great throng, but there were three little girls. whose parents had decided they would benefit from this class. He writes, trying to hide my disappointment, and over the next few weeks to do the best I could to teach them about the Christian faith, the week before Pentecost Sunday, I said to them, "Do you girls know what Pentecost is?" They didn't. So I said, "Well, Pentecost was when the church was seated in a circle and tongues of fire came down from heaven and landed on their heads, and they spoke the gospel in all the languages of the world." Two of the girls took that rather calmly, but one of them got her eyes as big as saucers, and when she could finally speak, she said, "Reverend Long, we must have been absent that Sunday." He writes, "The beautiful thing about that is not that she misunderstood. The beautiful thing about that is that she thought it could have happened in our church." So what does this story mean to us, and how does it continue to happen in us and in the church? Turning to the text, we see at the outset the followers of Jesus huddled indoors, feeling helpless without him in their midst. Outside, crowds of Jews from all over the world are gathering in Jerusalem for the festival they called Shavuot in Hebrew, or in Greek, Pentecost, after the Greek word for 50. Because it came 50 days after Passover. You remember Passover celebrates the Exodus when God delivered the Israelites from state slavery in Egypt. The Jewish festival of Pentecost is a sequel to Passover. It celebrates God's gift of the Torah, the holy words of Scripture that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. The miracle of the Jewish Pentecost was that by giving the words of Scripture, the law, God formed a ragtag band of ex-slaves into a community of faith. The followers of Jesus knew this ancient Pentecost story well. They also remembered that the last thing Jesus had told them before he ascended into heaven was that they should go back to Jerusalem and wait there together. He said they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit and clothed with power from on high. What does this mean? The disciples must have wondered, but they did what Jesus had told them to do. They returned to Jerusalem, along with a group of women and other followers who gathered with them in a small home, waiting and praying together, when suddenly a mighty wind blew in, flames of fire landed on their heads, and these astonished Galileans started speaking languages they didn't even know. Barbara Brown Taylor imagines the cartoonish nature of the scene when she writes, "Like a room full of bagpipes all going at once, they made such a racket that people come rushing in from the streets, leaning in the windows and pushing through the doors, surprised to hear someone speaking their own language so far from home. Parthians peek in, expecting to see other Parthians, and Cappadocians and Phrygians and Medians and others look around for their own compatriots. But what they see instead is a bunch of country folks from northern Israel dressed in the equivalent of first century overalls, all of them going on and on about what God has done for us like a cadre of linguistically learned theologians." David Henson observes that the story of Pentecost, in a nutshell, is this: God speaks, the people understand. This confuses them. What confused them was not so much the message. Everyone in that crowd had come to Jerusalem expecting to hear stories of God's mighty deeds. But they were expecting to hear them from the religious leaders in the temple speaking Hebrew, the divine language. So what did it mean that God was speaking through powerless peasants in languages that were considered unworthy, not only by the temple priests, but by the Roman rulers, who always made their imperial pronouncements in Latin, the official language of the empire? When I think about miracles involving language, I am reminded of the number of hospice patients I have worked with who speak only Spanish. I'm always humbled by how inadequate my few poorly pronounced Spanish phrases sound when I visit as their chaplain. Given my limitations with the language, I experience every moment of connection that we share as something of a miracle, definitely the work of the Spirit. I remember kneeling at the bedside of a 108-year-old woman who lay dying with rosary beads in her hand as her 80-year-old daughter knelt beside me, whispering prayers. She was praying in Spanish and I in English. And I thought of Paul's letter to the Romans, where he wrote that the Spirit prays in us even more deeply than we can pray with our words. In another family home, I met a grieving mother whose adult son had died suddenly. We sat together and the most amazing thing happened. It was as if the language barrier between us dissolved. She shared a notebook full of poetry she had written, all in Spanish. She was able to interpret some of the words, but so much of the meaning came through for me in listening to the sound of her voice, its rising and falling, the tenderness of her tones, the beauty of the cadences and the rhythms, the brightness in her eyes, the tears that welled up. And I realized that I was hearing in her poems the Spirit praying, as Paul would say, with sighs too deep for words. We tend to see Pentecost more in terms of the exuberant and dramatic events that are recorded in the book of Acts, but it seems to me there are all kinds of circumstances where people are united not by a common language, but a shared awakening to the wonder that God is alive and active in the world, and that God is drawing us together to participate in God's life. Not only does the Holy Spirit long to pray and speak through us, but Pentecost proclaims the Spirit's power to have its say. Consider what happened on that first Pentecost Sunday when the church was born. Scripture tells us that more than 3,000 people were baptized that day. Shy people had become bold, scared people had become brave, lost people had found a sure sense of direction. Disciples who had not believed themselves capable of tying their own sandals without Jesus discovered abilities within themselves they never knew they had. When they opened their mouths to speak, they sounded like Jesus. When they laid their hands upon the sick, it was as if Jesus himself had touched them, and there was no explanation for it, except that the disciples had received the gift of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit had entered them in the same way it had entered into Mary, the mother of Jesus, and for the same reason. It was time for God to be born again, not only in one body this time, but in a body of believers who would receive the Spirit, the wind, the fire, the breath of life from their Lord, and would pass it on. And in the process, changed the history of the world. So what does all this mean to us here and now? Marguerite Schuster writes, Pentecost means that God took the initiative to intervene in the lives of all sorts of ordinary folks in ways they could not possibly expect or control. And if God does that, even can do that, or sometimes does that, you can never be entirely confident again about just what God might do next. For if the Spirit really is at work in and among us, then someone really might be healed. Someone really might speak a word from the Lord. Someone really might be changed through prayer. People of different languages, cultures, belief systems, nationalities really might learn to listen to each other, to discover what we have in common, to grow towards seeing ourselves as members of a fellowship, a worldwide community that exceeds our capacity to define. Jesus called his disciples, and he calls us as his church to stay together, to keep praying, keep encouraging one another, to keep asking the Spirit to open our eyes and hearts to the needs around us and the gifts we can bring to bear in response. So look for the Spirit in surprising moments. When you find yourself speaking with eloquence you know you don't have, or when you notice that forgiveness has seeped into a place in your heart where anger used to rule. Whenever you find yourself taking risks you thought you did not have the courage to take, or reaching out to someone you had intended to walk away from, or refusing to enable a destructive process to continue. In moments such as these, it just may be that the Holy Spirit is entering in and you are taking part in it. The Holy Spirit we celebrate on Pentecost comes to us with both challenge and comfort, shaking things up to be sure, but also granting the courage, the confidence, the hope and assurance to see things through. Maybe one of the gifts of Pentecost is to invite us to keep asking that question, what does this mean? As we expect the Spirit of the living God to act in new and astonishing ways, and as we pray for the grace to discern the Spirit's promptings and respond with joy. Let's close with a prayer. Oh God, open us to the powerful winds of your Spirit. Open our eyes to the wonders of your creation. Open our ears to your words of justice and truth. Open our hearts, open our arms to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Living God, on Pentecost long ago, you startled and empowered the followers of Christ with a gracious and glorious gift of your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit too, Lord, as you search our hearts. Make us bold to ask for your transforming power to be let loose among us, entering into our midst and into our daily lives too. Ignite us with a passion for your mission in the world today. Kindle us with your compassion for those who hunger for justice and for food. Propel us with your Spirit to move past the fears and the hesitations, the anxieties, the resentments that hold us back. Move us forward to forgive and be forgiven. Set us on a course of service. When our commitment lacks energy, let your Spirit fire us up. When we limit ourselves to a language that few understand, teach us to listen and let your Spirit provide a common ground. Help us proclaim the good news, not only with words, but with deeds that help to break down barriers and build toward understanding and reconciliation. God, on this Memorial Sunday, we remember and give thanks for those who have given themselves in service and sacrifice for the sake of others. And we pray for the life of our nation, for the well-being of all peoples. Grant that the nations of the world may hear beyond the voices of fear and mistrust. Lord, open our ears to hear your spirit and to join our voices with your spirit, who cries out with all those who suffer, especially those who grieve the loss of children and families killed in a Syrian village this week, and for all your children of every age who live in crossfires of war and violence. Spirit of peace, come, hear our prayers. God of compassion, reach out to all those who need your healing touch in this time as we pray in the silence of our own hearts for those whose names and circumstances you have placed in our hearts, in our minds today, as we lift them up to your strengthening presence, your comfort, your life-giving and life-leading and always healing spirit. Open our eyes, Lord, to see every sign of healing that you place before us in this season of spring, in this season of graduations. And as we celebrate the birth of the church today, we give you thanks and praise that you have called us together and united us to receive your presence and your guidance and your support. Empower us, Lord, in this time and place with your Holy Spirit, that we might witness your redeeming love with boldness and joy. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.